Still I stand to love, staying out of the love. For CJLO News, this is Ahmed Mujtahid. This was a part of a song called Je veux ton appartement by Andy Saint-Louis, a resident of Montreal who took her search for a new apartment to social media after spending weeks calling online ads and not seeing anything decent in her price range. The song resonated with the public as Andy Saint-Louis received many apartment offers following the release of her song on YouTube. The vacancy rate in Montreal has been constantly declining during the last 4 years. The Canada Mortgage and Housing Corporation says the market has tightened because more people from all over the world, such as international students, temporary workers, and war refugees, are choosing to live in Montreal. Moreover, the role of short-term rental platforms like Airbnb is a major factor for low vacancy rates. Anyone planning on renting a new place in Montreal must be prepared to search hard and pay more. In national news, the Standing Committee on Fisheries and Oceans has advanced Bill S-203, also known as the Free Willy Bill. The bill aims to end the captivity of whales and dolphins through banning the keeping of cetaceans for entertainment and displaying purposes. However, it still allows for legitimate scientific research and rescue efforts. Originally introduced in 2015, Bill S-203 faced many challenges and loopholes throughout its lifespan. Its biggest opponents have been the Vancouver Aquarium and Marineland, the only two facilities in Canada that still keep cetaceans captive. The Free Willy Bill is currently undergoing a third reading at the House of Commons. If it succeeds, it will be enacted into Canadian law. The 82-year-old Algerian leader Abdelaziz Bouteflika announced his resignation from presidency in a letter published by a state-run news agency on April 2nd, just hours after the army chief demanded action to remove the president from office. As a result of high unemployment and corruption, protests against Bouteflika broke out in late February as student-led demonstrations. But as the weeks passed, public anger continued to intensify, and the protests transformed into a peaceful but leaderless social movement represented by a broad cross-section of the population. Following Bouteflika's resignation, a triumphant group of protesters draped in the national flag jumped up and down with excitement while singing, "The country is ours and we'll do what we want." To hear the newscast and learn more about the news team, visit cjlo.com/news.
Stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets the traffic starts jumping, with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living, barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving.
Alright, hello everybody. Hello, my gorgeous superstar divas. Welcome back to Sparkling Introspection on CJLO 1690 AM. It's 10.03 PM here on the Loyola campus of Concordia. We are in Montreal. This is the Golden Dragon, Erdine. Christina is away tonight due to a family emergency, so it'll just be you and I chatting away the night. I hope I won't bore you too much. I hope you all had a good Thursday. I'm sure everyone's just ready for the weekend, just, you know, ready to rest. Oops, I just dropped something. Ready to rest and live your best lives, you know, doing what you do. I really am. I hope this weekend, though, will be better than last weekend, because last weekend, honestly, was kind of shitty because of the icy rain. At first, I was really excited because I was like, it's raining. I love the rain. Ooh, and then it started snowing, and I was like, what is this? I thought it was spring. Equinox already happened. Don't do this to me. But it happened, and I lived. Nothing happened to me. Before we start, I want to give a trigger warning for today's topic. It deals with assault, and I may mention sexual violence, so please take care of yourself. If you need to mute and come back, totally understandable. You are first. So, last weekend, I was on Instagram doing nothing, you know, scrolling through, wasting my time. I'm sure we all do it. And I kept seeing the same story pop up on my friends' stories and my friends' feed. And I was really curious. And it was this PSA that a Concordia student had uploaded. And it really caught my attention. So I looked it up and read more into it. The student turned out to be Lisa Komlost, and she had created a PSA on Instagram that had gone viral. She talked about two instances where she was stalked by two different men on two different occasions, and they both used the same script, and they made her feel uncomfortable. So I want to talk about this because I think it's a really important and timely story. And as a station campus and as a woman, I think it's really important that these kind of stories are being told. And it doesn't matter if, you know, the moment of viralness was last weekend or not. I know these things happen perpetually and all the time. And women don't necessarily feel safe all the time on campuses. So I want to talk about that. Today, we'll also be doing a phone interview with Viveka Lee, who is a McGill student who experienced the same thing back in September. And she'll be talking to us about her stories and her story and how she's dealing with it now and how Lisa's story kind of, you know, helped her get through this and, you know, how she kind of figured this out. I also wanted to talk about the clip that Lisa Komlost uploaded on her IG. And it basically, she talks about the story and she says that two weeks ago, at the Concordia campus, she was approached by a man in his 20s in the lobby of a building on the Sir George Williams campus, and she was he was complimenting her, and he was asking her where she is from, you know, do you want to go somewhere, talking to her, being whatever. And she was like, no, thank you, bye, I need to leave me alone, goodbye, etc., etc. And she went on with her life. And then 2 weeks later, the same thing happened to her again, where she got another male in his 20s coming up to her saying the exact same thing and talking to her, complimenting her, using the same script and just being really creepy and invading her personal space. So she said she took to social media to spread the message and talk about how it affected her. And I want to read a quote from her from a Montreal Gazette magazine. And she says, quote, "He tried to get me alone with him to go somewhere or leave campus with him. He wasn't listening to me say no. I kept trying to leave him," end quote. So, and also she said the second guy was following her through the lobby, and when she stopped walking, he would stop walking, and when she started walking, he would start walking again, and that she felt like this was very rehearsed, and that she felt that they were trying to isolate her. I think it's also I think it's just super scary. If you've ever been in a situation like that, no matter if you're on the campus, outside, or near your home, it's always so, so scary when a stranger comes up to you and breaches your personal space like that, and it's just like super insistent, really scary, and it's really unfortunate. And as a woman, I can totally relate to her, and I really want to say thank you to her for speaking up. It's really hard to speak up and share your stories when everyone is super shitty and, you know, just don't care. Also, at the end of her PSA on Instagram, she said that, quote, "The safety of women on campuses is all of our jobs. So it's really important that we spread the message and share it with each other." So thank you to my friends for sharing it on your feed. I of course, shared it right away. And just like, again, I think it's super important that Lisa and Vivica Lee both came out and talked to the news and have been such avid supporters of women and telling women and warning women that this situation is going on. Just because Lisa said she did report it to the school and the school is aware of what's happening. But we all know the bureaucracy, and we all know Concordia is super slow when it comes to protecting the student's safety. So it really becomes our job as the Concordia community and as the greater Montreal community to look out for each other and, you know, to make sure that we, you know, we are doing what we can to protect each other, you know, because it's really difficult, honestly. Girl, I can't even imagine. Anyway, so another thing she mentioned in her public PSA, public service announcement, was that she mentioned a past going on where women were being approached in malls for human trafficking purposes. So I looked into it and I found some articles talking about how pimps were luring teens at malls. I read an article from 2015 on CBC, and I want to read one of the quotes. Basically, it said, "A pimp will often approach teen after teen using flattery and offering his phone number, and eventually someone responds." And that they have been targeting malls, schools, youth centers, metro stations, and bus terminals. That's so scary. Honestly, oh God, bus stations, metro stations, youth centers, those are all the places that, like, what are we supposed to do as women? Just stay at home? It's ridiculous. You can't, they're literally targeting the places that they know we will be there. And it, not all of us are always with people, you know, we can't just be outside during like light hours. We sometimes have to go alone out at night, and we should be able to feel safe and not just be like, oh my God, I'm so scared. I guess reading this, these articles from 2015 about the human trafficking and comparing it to Lisa's story and Vivica's, I think personally they sound really similar. I obviously don't know exactly how pimps operate, but honestly, I would say apply stranger danger here. Don't talk to anybody that you don't know. Don't make eye contacts, and if anybody blames you for being attacked, do not listen to them. They're horrible people. We do not condone victim blaming, and if you're a victim blamer, you need to check yourself, because your head is not screwed on right, obviously. So after her PSA, she posted on Instagram a bunch of responses that people reached out to her, and I want to read some of the ones that people wrote to her. So the first one is, "Thank you for your recent video about the guys in their 20s. I didn't know it was a thing, but it also actually happened to me twice last week in UCAM. It's horrible that women can't study in safety. We really have to do something about that and be aware." Another one, "Hey girl, tagged you in a post about the creepy Concordia guys. This has happened to many girls. It's grossing me out. Be safe on campus, and thanks for sharing your story." Oh my God, there's so many responses where girls are just reaching out to Lisa saying the same thing happened to her. Another one says, thank you for sharing what happened to you. Around a month or so ago, similar instances were happening to McGill female students leaving the library alone. Our campuses need to be better in creating safer environments for their students. Also, another one said, hey, I saw your vid and same thing happened near Concordia with some guy. He kept on telling me to come with him. And when I said no, his facial expression completely changed and he was mad. And this was last week. And then someone dared to write, hey, can you stop being fragile and a victim? You need to start taking MMA or like some sort of fighting sport. That way you'll know what to do and how to handle situation and not get bullied or assaulted or whatever. Again, the victim blaming that I'm talking about. Even if you have MMA, it's not women's responsibility to always be on alert and always defend themselves. And even when people have extensive training, it can still catch them off guard. And it's super unfair that this person is being such a troll and blaming women. It's not okay. I'm annoyed. But anyways, now we have a short break for an ad. We'll be back. And after the break, we'll be talking to Viveka Lee. Don't leave.
Productions Media Fake presents the 13th edition of the Cité d'Or de la Musique du Monde. The one and only Cité d'Or Musical Honors invites you to discover 36 of the best world music groups throughout this unique showcase. Come and vote for your favorite artists and enjoy free concerts every Tuesday and Wednesdays at Club Balatu until April 18th. The Cité d'Or, the People's Choice Award that brings the world together. For more information, visit www.citydor.com.
Hello, I'm Rick Jason. Do you think all electronic music is the same? On Rick's Sessions, we play everything, from the most energetic to the calm, from the euphoric to the gloomy, from the cutting edge of the music scene to tracks that have stood the test of time, from 100 BPM to 180 BPM, and everything in between. Plus, you'll get to listen to a weekly mix performed live by me. Rigged Sessions is on air every Thursday from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern, live only on CJLO 1690 AM and on CJLO.com.
And we are back. So I have with me Viveka Lee, who is a McGill student who had the same experience. And I want to talk to Viveka and ask her experience and like what happened. Hey, Viveka, are you with us?
Hi, yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you for coming. I know it's late. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so let's just get right into it. Can you tell me what happened to you? And you said this happened to you in September. Just can you like kind of go over your story?
Yeah, so the first time was at the Eaton Center. I was leaving. A man approached me and he said, you're really beautiful. Can I, like, basically asking me questions like, where are you from? What do you study? And then asked me to go for coffee with him. And then he asked me for my number. The second time was at the corner of Sherbrooke University, and a man approached me as I was walking up the university. I didn't stop for him. He just kind of followed me along, and then he said the exact same things as the first man, and then he followed me to Trottier. Now, I don't want to elaborate too much on my experience because I know, like, it's a lot of people have misinterpreting this issue as being mine specifically. But the problem is, like, it's been happening to so many different women. So I just wanted to emphasize that.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that you saw Lisa's story on IG. And can you just speak on, like, how Lisa's story affected you and why you decided to share your story?
Yeah, so right away, as I was watching her speak, I was like, this sounds so familiar to me. And it's happened to me, the exact same thing. And then I saw all the replies she got, and then I was like, okay, this is very not okay. So I decided to share it, saying that it's happened to me as well on campus. And a lot of people have replied to me saying that they've experienced this on McGill campus as well as around Montreal. So I brought it up to security. basically trying to get McGill Security to do the same thing as Concordia has. Concordia has increased their security, and McGill is looking into it as well.
Okay. Do you think this has been happening to others around McGill as well?
Oh, yeah. Tons of people.
Yeah. I was reading to one of the responses that Lisa had posted on her Instagram, and they were saying that McGill's students have been experiencing this situation while they were coming out of the library. So it seems like this has been going on for some time, and it's not just like a recent thing.
No, not at all. It's been going on for, I've seen posts from people saying it's happened to them last year or like months ago. It's been going on for quite a long time, and it's also not just at the libraries. This is like everywhere on campus, like 680 Sherbrooke, the gym, other buildings as well, and even like not just at McGill, but also in the McGill ghetto where a lot of students live, and also around that area.
Wow. So can you speak a little bit about what you'll do in the future? I read in the article that you were planning on filing a police report, and you filed a report with McGill?
Okay, so I went to McGill Security, and I filed a number of reports. I've gave them all the evidence that I had so far, and they have increased their rounds on campus. That was yesterday. And they're still like waiting for a response in terms of what they're going to do to further increase security. But they are working with Concordia, that I know. And I went to the police station. So you can't file a police report if it didn't happen to you and if it had nothing to do with physical or anything like sexual assault, like verbally or anything like that. So there's nothing that police can do on that part if you want to file a report. So, but I do know that police has been aware of these ongoing cases that have been happening. So that's a good step. And yeah.
Yeah. What do you think schools can do better, and how much responsibility do they have over the safety of students?
Definitely. I think that they can control their security to make their presence more effective. And I do know that sometimes I've like had students tell me that they tried looking for security, but they couldn't find anyone. So I think that like just increasing security can help a lot. And just having the university spread the news and acknowledge that it's a real issue. And that way people will be convinced as well that it is an issue.
Mm-hmm. Just going back to you reporting to the security, I want to ask, how was the process of filing a report? Would you say it was easy? Was there a lot of paperwork? Were they understanding? Were they acceptive of your experience?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if you go to the office, like the actual office on campus, it's pretty easy. I just had to wait a couple minutes and someone came to me and dealt with the issue. I do know that if you try filing it on the website, I think it's a little more complicated and a little confusing. But they are always open. Their number is always accessible, and you can basically call their number anytime. And yeah.
Prior to this experience and like in September, have you felt safe on campus? Have you heard or seen stories like this before?
Yeah, last year someone had been followed from the McGill Library to their house, mm-hmm. and it has brought quite some concern. But I've personally been feeling safe. Like, it's not, I feel like for me, it wasn't scary, like what I experienced. So it didn't, like, I know I'm prepared of like what to do when this happens. And, it's like, it's really just about being prepared of knowing what to do when this happens to you.
And do you think, obviously we're in university and I'm sure you've looked into this and I've looked into this, but I think there are a lot of people and especially young girls who may not be prepared, who may not have been exposed to this kind of environment. Do you think schools, and not just universities, high schools, CGEPs, they do enough to inform students, girls especially, of these potential harms and what to do in those instances?
I think that maybe they could bring, you know, maybe inform their students a little more on the resources available in case this happens, and maybe just like emphasize that, like list their services. Like I know universities have all these services, but I don't know exactly about like high schools or CGEPs. But I do think that maybe we can just like talk about more of what's been happening, because it's been an issue for so long. But now that we know that it's been occurring, that we do make sure to bring up all the resources available to help.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. What do you think we can do as a community in Montreal to keep the story going and to keep it alive and keep warning students and the greater Montreal community? Because I don't feel like this is like a one-off thing. I feel like this would occur, and there are new students coming in to Montreal, to McGill, to Concordia, to UCAM. Do you have any like idea or solution of how we can keep the story afloat?
I think keep spreading the news, and not just, you know, it's good that everyone's been speaking up about it, but I think it also is very effective if you know, bigger institutions talk about it and expose the news more, like universities share the news, and then that will, you know, right away students will know that this is happening and it's like an actual recurring event and it's not just, you know, fake news or not just
yeah, for sure. Yeah, I was talking to some guy and he was telling me like, oh my God, this like leftist radical woman power, woman victimizing stories are all over the news and I'm tired of it. Like this Me Too movement is getting out of hand. And to him, I say, not today. Because obviously this seems to be an issue that's always happening and it's unfortunate that women can't feel safe even at their school. But anyways, thank you so much, Viveka, for talking to us and sharing your story. I wish you good luck with all your reporting, and I hope this doesn't happen to you again. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
Yeah, thank you. It was a great pleasure.
All right. Have a good night.
You too. Bye.
All right. So that was Viveka Lee, a McGill student who had the same experience as Lisa Komlost. And again, thank you, Viveka, for coming on. So, hearing about the story always gets me really sad, just because it's such a daily reality for me as well as a woman. Just like, I'm always looking over my shoulder when I'm walking outside alone, even in the daytime, and if there's like a man following me, I'm always like, oh my God, am I gonna die? I want to see my mom once again. Anyways, I want to talk about the school's response. Lisa Komlos uploaded her PSA on Instagram on Friday, and Concordia released a statement on Saturday saying they are aware of these recent harassment cases on campus and that they've beefed up the security and they're doing more stuff. So I'm not sure what more stuff is. I hope that beefing up the security is enough, and I hope the security actually will be useful in preventing more of these cases from happening, because it really, really sucks. One thing that was really interesting to me when I was reading one of the articles on CBC about Vivica and Lisa was when Lisa was reporting her experience through SARC, which is Concordia's Sexual Assault Resource Center, she had to get permission from Concordia to report anonymously. This was very strange to me. I don't know why victims have to get permission from Concordia to file anonymously. I don't know what the problem is. It's very strange. And I think that in itself is not survivor-centric at all, because you're forcing someone potentially into a situation where they might be exposed to the public and they may not be comfortable with that. So I looked into this situation of not being able to report anonymously without permission, and I emailed Concordia and I asked around, and basically they said they will look into it more and that it has been misreported in the news. So if I do get an update on why students need permission to report anonymously, I will definitely bring it up next week. But I want to read a quote from the CBC article that was given by Julie from who's the outreach coordinator at Concordia's Center for Gender Advocacy. And she talks about the barriers to reporting and, you know, the rights of the complainants and making sure these processes and policies are survivor-centric. And it goes, quote, "We've seen time and time again that the university is very slow to act in the interest of survivors until some sort of public shaming or a threat to the institution's reputation emerges," end quote. I think this quote says a lot, especially I'm a Concordia student. And I also work at Concordia, so I see time and time again Concordia in the headlines, on the news, and it's never for something good. It's always for mishandling sexual violence cases, allegations against professors, and not being timely. And I think it's so unacceptable that a university, an institution as big as Concordia, is doing this. And I'm so happy that CBC spoke to Julie and that Julie actually brought this up, because when someone comes forward to report this kind of situation, it's really annoying and it can also be extremely harmful and traumatic for that person to go through a long process of just being asked stuff and being told you can't do this, you can't do that, you have to do this, you can't do that. And I think it's super important that there should be no barriers, and that it's super shitty that Concordia only does stuff when it concerns their public image. I don't think that's right. Students pay thousands of dollars to be at this university to get education. And I don't think it's fair that students are, students are being shamed and not receiving the help they need from the institutions. But I hope that, they get their shit together. So the Concordia, in response to Lisa and a bunch of people coming up and saying this has happened to them, They said they have taken several measures to respond. I'm just not sure what those responses are. I haven't seen anything. I mean, just today I was at the hall building and I did see more security guards than usual. But again, I was in the hall building. I'm not sure what it's like at other buildings, FB, FG, Loyola Campus. I really, really, really hope that they're doing something about this and they're just not, that they're just not using this as a way to say that they've been doing stuff and they're acting so quickly to help their students, because it doesn't stop at beefing up security, you know? Because, again, not everyone is going to know about the story. Not everyone's going to watch Lisa's PSA. Not everyone's going to read the news. Some people may not have access to, you know, these newsletters. They may not speak English or, you know, many, many reasons. And I think it is the school's responsibility to take it upon themselves to create an environment where it's safe and that students have a place to go and feel like that they're being listened to, that they're being understood, and that something is gonna come out of them filing a report. Because the process of filing a report is a lot. I mean, I'm sure y'all know that any type of paperwork is so much work. They have like section A, section B, section Z, section X, and you're just like, what am I doing with my life? I mean, we all know we'd rather be watching Netflix, eating, lying in bed, scrolling through Instagram than filing paperwork for something horrible that's happened to you. So I really, really, really encourage Concordia and other schools in Montreal, in Quebec, and in Canada, and in the world, to make these processes easy and to make these policies that are in place comprehensible and accessible and transparent to students. Because these policies and the university technically serve students. So I find it incredibly frustrating when a lot of the services that are meant for students are not really accessible to them and they don't know a lot about it. Like, for example, I didn't know the security number until maybe 2 weeks ago when I went for a disclosure training and a security person from Concordia came and talked to us about the different programs that they have and what we can do if we feel like our safety is being jeopardized. But I had no idea what kind of programs were offered at school. I didn't know who to call. If something like this happened to me on campus, I would have called 911. And I'm not sure how effective that is. Last night I had a nightmare that someone was trying to kill me. I don't know why I dreamt that so bad. I woke up really scared. Anyways, and I was trying to dial 911 and I was so nervous and my fingers were so sweaty. Also, this is my dream. So sweaty that I couldn't dial 911 and I was so scared and I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna die. So, yeah, you really have to be prepared. And I don't know. I just think this kind of situation is always, always really scary. And I personally don't know how I would react if I was in this, if I experienced this kind of thing. I know I would definitely panic. And I don't know. I just hope that the school does more to amp up the security. That's great. But also advertise it more. Make it transparent that there are programs that protect students. And these are not just prevention programs. These are programs that help students who have had these experiences and experiences that will, you know, carry on after the process, after reporting, because after experiencing something like this, it could be very traumatic. And oftentimes, it does have a huge impact on our mental health. So I really hope the school is coming through and offering that kind of stuff and not just overwhelming students and other people who come forward with paperwork and a bunch of legal jargon and like scare tactics or delay tactics. I really, really hope Concordia doesn't deal with the situation the same way that they've been dealing with the allegations against professors. So that is my hope. So I know today's topic is quite heavy, and I've been talking a lot. Since Christina's not here, it's just been me chatting away. I'm sorry for that. I hope you're not too bored. But this is a really important topic, and I really want to give it a space and time to expand more and talk about it more. And, you know, just get it out there. Whoever's listening out there, y'all, share this with your people. Tell everyone you know about this, okay? Because we can't have our people getting treated this way, you know? Anyways, you know what? I wanted to play you guys a song. And this song is really, really, really amazing. And it's by an artist called Ibeyi. And they are twin French duo. They're sisters, and they are incredible. Incredible. I listened to the song all day long today, and honestly, my socks were blown off. I was wearing tights today, but my tights were blown off. It was incredible. This song is called No Man Is Big Enough for My Arms by Ibeyi. You are listening to Sparkling Introspection on CJLO, 1690 AM. Don't go anywhere. This is Ibeyi, No Man Is Big Enough for My Arms.
Of any society is how it treats its women and girls.
No man is big enough for my arms.
No man in the world. No man in the world.
No man is big enough for my arms.
The measure of any society is how it treats its women and girls.
We create
the smart, powerful, creative, accomplished young women.
We can fight.
I'm here because of you. I'm here because girls like you inspire me.
No man. No man is big enough for my arms.
Many of these girls have faced unthinkable obstacles just to attend school.
Of any society is how it treats its women and girls.
Won't stand still.
Your story is my story. Your story is my story.
Won't be shamed.
Your story is my story. Your story is my story. Story.
No man. No man is big enough for
my arms. And I told them that they should disregard anyone who demeans or devalues them, and that they should make their voices heard in the world. I told them that they deserve to be treated with dignity and respect. And I told them that they should disregard anyone who demeans or devalues them. They should make their voices heard in the world.
The measure of any society is how it treats its women and girls.
No man, no man.
For CJ Ellen.
Victoria Weekend goes live at Club Soda on Sunday, May 19th with The Taste of Reggae. One amazing concert featuring three incredible live bands jamming at Club Soda on Victoria Holiday Weekend, Sunday, May 19th. Doors open at 7 p.m. Performing will be Meta and the Cornerstones alongside Ilem and Inus Aso. This is a show you will not want to miss.
I say, what are you listening to there, old chap? Man, I'm listening to the Live Wire show on CJLO 1690 on your AM dial every Saturday from 9 till 10 in the morning.
Welcome back to Sparkling Introspection on CGLO 1690 AM. This is your host, Erdine. Sorry about the technical difficulty. I'm having a little hard time working the board by myself today. Also, again, as per usual, I'm always nervous. This is our second show, and as we promised, we will get better and better every week. So please forgive my little technical difficulties. That won't be happening. So before the break, we played No Man Is Big Enough For My Arms by Ibai, a musical French duo. Really amazing song. I mean, I got the chills, and I think it's super great that we played it. Anyways, also before the break, we talked to Vivica, a McGill student who had the same harassment experience back in September, and she talked to us about how she felt about it and how Lisa's story helped her and what she's doing moving on forward. And also what the school has been doing to prevent this situation from happening again. And helping students out and supporting students. So we'll be continuing on with the story. And I just want to talk to you. I know I said this is such a reality for a woman. And although this particular situation of harassment didn't happen to me, I have had several situations like this happen to me over my lifetime. It is not a shock, honestly, because this kind of thing happens all the time. It's really exhausting, but it happens all the time. But anyways, I want to share a story about a similar situation that happened to me last December, so a few months ago. Late December, I went to Georgia Smith's concert. If you don't know Georgia Smith is a great singer, artist, songwriter from England. She's beautiful. She's lovely. She's a goddess. We will definitely play her music here sometime. And I'm obsessed with her. So I went there, and I usually like going to concerts alone, just because I don't want to talk during the concerts with people. And so I went to George's concert, and it was really great. I had such a good time. And it wasn't even late when I left the concert. I think it was maybe 10:30, 10:45. And the venue, I forgot the name of the venue, but I feel like it was Corona. It was on St. Catherine, East St. Catherine. Towards the gay village, and I left the venue, and I was walking, and I didn't want to take Saint Laurent metro station, so I decided to walk down to an Orange Line station. I don't want to say it, Place d'Armes, fine, whatever, don't make fun of my accent. And I walked down, and you know you have to walk down through Saint Laurent Street, and then through St. Catherine, and I don't know, maybe it was because it was 10:30, 10:45, it was pretty empty, and that area of the city, I'm never usually there, just because at nighttime, it's kind of scary, and there's not much there. So anyways, I was minding my business, looking real beautiful, and I was just walking, and the thing is, I wasn't even wearing anything provocative. I know a lot of victim blamers love to say, what were you wearing? I was just wearing regular ass jeans. And I was walking down, and maybe after maybe a minute after I left the venue, and just as the crowd started to thin out, I felt like this person was following me. And at first I was maybe you're being paranoid, you know, it's fine, whatever. And I kept walking and walking, and there was only me in the street and I guess my alleged stalker as well. And this person was just following me all the way down, and he kept coming closer and closer and closer to me. And I start to freak out. You get this gut feeling inside you that's oh my God, I feel like I might die tonight. That's the feeling I was getting. I'm not sure what his intentions were, but I turned back a few times, and he was staring right into my soul, I tell you. Staring right into my soul. And he kept walking really close. And it was just like, he was so creepy. And he had this look in his eyes like he was about to do something to me. I don't know. Anyways, I was scared. And it was like, it was late at night. And I was in a part of the town that I don't usually go to. And there was no one there. And it was really quiet. All the stores were closed. And I was going through Chinatown. And it was just quiet. And I was really scared. And so I like took off my headphones. And I start to dial my family members. None of them picked up. I'm also from Vancouver, so there's a huge time. There's like a 3-hour time difference. I don't know what they were doing. It was like 7 p.m. there. They didn't pick up. At that point, I really wanted to disown my family members for not picking up. And I felt like I was in such a danger, so I had to do what I had to do, you know, because I had work the next day. I had to be alive. So I literally pretended to be on the phone. I put down my headphones and I like picked up my phone. I was like, I started talking really loud. I said, "Oh, hi, Mom. Yeah, I'm going to Taekwondo class tomorrow morning. Yeah, I'm doing the test for my black belt tomorrow." And I just basically started screaming on my phone about how I was a martial artist and I was so good at fighting and I have black belt in Taekwondo. I don't even know if you get black belts in Taekwondo. But anyways, I pretended to talk on the phone, which wasn't very hard because I pretend to talk on the phone all the time with myself. And I made up a story and I just walked super fast. I almost ran. And I finally like found a store where there were a lot of people. So I like turned the street. And then I looked back and he was just like standing there at the crossroads, like staring into my soul. Oh, it was very, very disturbing. I felt very uncomfortable. It just was not a good experience. And the next day I obviously called my mom and I was like, "How dare you not pick up your phone? My life was in danger. What would happen to me if..." Now I tell the story and like I laugh with my friends. I was like, "Oh my God, Erdin, you're so funny. You pretended to be like a Taekwondo master. It's so funny." But at that time, the danger was so real. I felt it in like the pit of my stomach that something wasn't right if I didn't do something. And I also don't have any fighting skills, so that would have been a mess. But I'm not like short or anything, so I definitely feel like I would use my brute force. But anyways, it is really, really scary. Before we wrap up, we have like 8 minutes left. I want to tell the listeners about some of the things that you can do if something like this happens to you. Because it's important to talk about people's experience. But it's also important that you all know what resources are out there and what to call, who to talk to. Concordia has a program called Safe Walk, where you can request a security guard to accompany you. They can accompany you to your classes, to your dorms, to metro stops. They can wait with you on at the bus. And they won't just like be walking right beside you, like holding your hand. I'm sure they can if you ask them to, but they'll like walk a safe distance and make sure that you get to your destination safely. So please, ladies and gentlemen and you know, anyone out there who feels unsafe or uncomfortable on campus, please feel free to call the security and ask for them to accompany you to wherever you're going, because it's super important and you shouldn't feel uncomfortable. So yeah, so Safe Walk is at Concordia. I'm not sure if McGill has the same situation, but I think most universities you can request security guards to accompany you somewhere, so don't feel bad. And also, ladies, if you're alone at night, make sure you tell your friends, your family, where you're going, who you're going to be with. Make sure your phone is charged. And especially if you're out at night, don't listen to your headphones. Make sure you're aware of your surroundings. Check your back. Check if anyone's behind you, following you. I know it's like a lot of responsibility on our shoulders, but, you know, we have to do what we can to prevent the situation from happening. And I want to keep everyone safe. I want to keep all the girls safe, you know, because we are unfairly targeted during these situations. Also, you can call the security at Concordia at 514-848-3717, and you can select extension 1 for emergencies. So whatever emergency you might have, like whether it's CPR, someone's following you, something happened, etc., etc., health emergencies, select 1 again at 514-848-3717. And at McGill, you can call 514-398-3000. There are resources on both campuses that you can go to for help if you just want to like talk, if you need to file a report, if you need support. On Concordia, we have the Sexual Assault Resource Center, SARC. And I believe it's on McKay and Maisonneuve. So, oh no, SARC is actually in the hall building, on the fourth floor of a hall building. So SARC can help you find legal information, give you counseling. The social worker there can help you file reports. So if you ever are in a situation like this, feel free to go to SARC. There's a place called Sexual Assault Center of the McGill Students Association at McGill, and they do the same thing as SARC. So ladies, feel free to go there. And gentlemen, I keep saying ladies. So everyone go there. There are resources that are available. And if you are going through something and if you need help or if you just want to talk to someone, there are resources available, like the Center for Gender Advocacy. It's on McKay, close to Sherbrooke, and they have a lot of services. They have lots of resources. They can refer you to lots of places. They also have a peer support program, where they offer non-directional, non-judgmental listening, active listening services. And it's a really, really great services. The active listeners are trained there, so they will just be a good ear for you to listen to your whatever problems that you may be having. It doesn't have to be related to, you know, harassment, stalking, or anything. It could just be anything. If you're overwhelmed at school, life, seasonal depression is a lot. Seasonal depression was a lot this year for me. You can go to Center for Gender Advocacy. Again, it's on McKay and Sherbrooke, so at the Concordia campus. And if anything happens to you, feel free to reach out to your friends. Don't listen to victim blamers. It's never your fault. It's never about what you're wearing. You didn't ask for this. If anybody tells you otherwise, feel free to shut them down because they are wrong. You are a beautiful, sparkling, gorgeous diva, and you deserve all the support in the world. So please use everything that you can and, you know, be safe out there. We have like 3 minutes left. Just before we go, I want to quickly mention this horrible thing that's happening in Quebec, Bill 21. And I don't know if y'all know about Bill 21, but it's basically a bill that was introduced last Thursday by the CAC government. And this bill would ban public sector employees in positions of authority, including teachers, police officers, and judges, from wearing religious garbs in the workplace. So this is not the first time that the Quebec government has tried to shield their Islamophobic, racist, terrible behavior underneath a ban, saying that, you know, saying, giving useless excuses. So there was a town hall organized by Concordia Student Association last Sunday, and they like gave attendees information about some resources and information about the legal side, and like how you this bill can be challenged, because if this bill does come into effect, it's really, really terrible. It's racism. It's racism, Islamophobic, and I don't know what the CAC government is doing. The devil at the helm of this government is horrible. I hate him so much. Anyways, there is a protest happening this Sunday at 12:30 at UCAM, Barry UCAM, where people are coming together to protest against this bill and just Islamophobia, xenophobia, and racism in Quebec and in Montreal. It'll be a great event with a lot of people coming out to show support. So if you are someone who's affected by Bill 21, or if you know someone who's affected, and or just if you think this bill is wrong, because it is wrong. No one should tell someone they can't wear or not wear something. No, respect people's religion, respect people's